الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قول معروف خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the many amazing things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final prophet, the mercy to all of the universe, is that he had the ability to speak very little, but to have so much depth in what he said that it would take people years, entire lifetimes, to unfold the meanings that he would say in a single sentence, right? I mean, there's people who could do an entire PhD on one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? That's not the mark of a normal human being. I mean, you also say things, but it doesn't have that impact. So he would say like one, and he said this is one of the things that he was given, which is jawamu al-kalim, right? This ability to speak very little, but to carry oceans of meaning along with that. So one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was, al-yadu al-ulya khayrun min al-yadi al-sufla, aw kama qal, that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And one of the meanings of that is it's better, right, to give sadaqah, right, than to take sadaqah. But there's a deeper meaning here. Because if you really think about it, the message is it's better to be a giver rather than a taker. Right? In life, you generally find two types of people. Right? And even when you look at our own lives, we're just sort of vacillating between these two roles. Either you're a giver or you're a taker. And Allah, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear, right? Right at the outset, that be a giver. And that was one of the other miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you look at his life, right, his entire life is an example of giving rather than taking. And he gave, and he gave, and he gave so much that he made sure that all of mankind owed him a debt and he owed nothing to anyone else. Right? Because he was a giver. He was the manifestation of his own words. He was the upper hand. Right? He was always giving. He couldn't go to sleep at night if he had any dirham left in his house. 7 dirhams sitting in his house and he couldn't go to sleep at night. He says, I gotta give it away. He would give with so much generosity and with such an open heart that people would receive from him and they would go back to their nation and they would say that, O people, believe in this man for because he gives without fear of poverty. Which one of us gives without fear of poverty? Right? That's what he not only had the upper hand, but he had an open hand. It was just like open. If you read about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the remarkable things is that he never said no. Right? Meaning if someone came to take, he would give. If someone came to take, he just would give. So that's one thing to realize, is that in life, you always want to make sure that you're on the giving edge. I mean, and that's one of the times, that one of the reasons that people often get into, you know, that they're unhappy, right? Because they feel that I'm not getting, right? I'm not getting something. If a person changes their focus from what they're getting to what they're giving, life becomes very different. You take husband and wife. Wife is upset because she didn't get something. Or the husband is mad because he didn't, quote-unquote, get something, right? That his wife didn't listen to him and he didn't, quote-unquote, get obedience. Or the wife is mad that the husband is not more thoughtful, so she didn't get something. All of these things, right, you're being a taker. Right? You're being a taker. You've got to be a giver. One time I was sitting with my with one of my teachers, who's also a physician. He's working, you know, extremely, extremely hard in developing the science, right, in teaching it to the next generation, training the next generation of doctors. I mean, when you talk about working hard, I mean, I'm talking about you grabbing sleep when, like, someone's driving you to work, right, like, hard. And I was just talking to him, and it was like, and he was like writing grants, and you're doing this research project, this and that, and you know, writing a book chapter in one of the like medical textbooks, which is, you know, used throughout the United States. And then I was just speaking to him, and he said something which really stuck with me. He said, you know, at the end of the day, my teachers, they taught me something, and so I owe them. Right? I owe them. You know, when you're a resident, if you talk to a normal resident, they're like, man, they're using me as cheap labor. Right? That's how they think. Right? Like, man, I'm working 90 hours a week. 90 hours a week, and I'm only getting as paid, I'm getting paid less than the nurse. That's how the average resident will think. They don't think that these guys are doing me a favor, that I'm allowing me to train and learn this beautiful science. Right? Forget anything, even in the dunya, this is how the righteous think. And so he said that, you know, they taught me something, I owed them a debt, and I always repay my debts. I mean, by contributing and giving back to the field, that was a way to turn the playing ground and change the field from being a taker to being a giver. Right? Contributing to what you took from. You know, the way so many times children are unhappy with their parents, you're unhappy with your brothers or your siblings or this and that, and all the time usually it's because you're not getting something. So if there is a fundamental paradigm shift in the way you approach your life, just with that one sentence, al-yadul ulya khayrun min al-yadis sufla, right, that stop taking and start giving, things are become very different. You know, oftentimes, especially people from an Indian background, right, we generally think, you know, and we want to lord over the wife. And people sometimes who have a little bit more Islamic knowledge, they even, you know, will quote the ayah, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And for men, they have literally a level above women. It's in the Qur'an. They say, brother, you know, it's in the Qur'an. And they use this to control. You know, obedience is in their own place. There's separate, you know, there's separate backing for that. But when people talk about that, one of the most beautiful explications of that verse I heard is that وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً means that you, on the day of Qiyamah, you want to make sure that your favors over her are greater than her favors over you. Right? You want to make sure that your favors over her are... Usually we're thinking the other way around, right? She's not doing enough for us. Right? Not that we're not doing enough for her. You're saying, I'm in charge. Right? My kids should listen to me. Right? My kids should serve me. I should be doing this. Everyone wants to be the king. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king. We're just servants. Right? We're servants to Allah, and we're servants to whoever Allah created. Right? Including our children, including our families, including those people who are around us. And by serving the creation of Allah, I mean, recently when I was at Hajj, I got the opportunity, subhanAllah, to actually sit with the Shaykh al-Hadith who teaches Bukhari there in Salatiyah. So he actually invited us, he had us over for dinner, and we spent some time with him. And like every moment, it was just gems dropping from his mouth, you know, pearls. And it was, I mean, I would say, like, you know, you go to a lot of parties, but some things are really special and they stay with you. I think that's going to stay with me for like the rest of my life, because, you know, there's so much spirituality and so much righteousness. And it was like when we would speak, we wouldn't speak about this or that. It would just be about hadith. It would be about Islam. It would be about, you know, things which were subtle and spiritual and elevating and enlightening. And you don't usually find those type of gatherings, right? This is just, and it was just normalcy over there. But so he actually ended up finding out that I was a physician as well. So he said, oh, you're a physician. He said, you know, that could be very good, right? Because if you go and you work every day with the intention that you want to serve the ayalullah, right? Ayal roughly translated as the family of God. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no family, no wife, no children, but this is the creation of Allah, is a better translation. That the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, then he said that will be a very great service. And that is a very high and mighty thing in the eyes of Allah. Any case, that was the number one concept. Right? I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Sometimes people, they realize that they want to give, right? And they do give in their life, right? They do give in their life. But then shaitan gets them at level two, right? This is where spirituality comes in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His holy book, قَوْلٌ مَأْرُوفٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذًى, that a goodly word, a nice word, speaking something kind to someone, is better than sadaqah, that is followed by some type of harm, right? Followed by some type of, you know, giving people pain. The very superficial example of this, right? Very superficial example of this is if I give person a dollar, right? Because he didn't have food, and he comes tomorrow and he's like, man, I forgot my wallet at home. You're like, man, you're always forgetting your wallet at home. You know, like I gave you a dollar yesterday, right? That hurts. Right, the other any person who has any amount of self-respect, they don't like to ask in the first place. And when they ask, and then you remind them of your favor that you did upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's better that you didn't even do the favor in the first place. Right? Rather you be like, man, inshallah, I'll just make dua for you. Say something nice. Right? Say something nice. That, oh yeah, man, I always forget my stuff too. Right? Make him feel better. That's better than giving him the dollar, right, and reminding him about it later. I give you an example, right? I'm going to sort of switch gears. So there's many people who are crazy about football, right? So if you look at the game of football, right, what's the point, right? You want to take the ball and move it from one side of the field to the other side of the field, right? You want, that's basically the whole game. You get from one side of the field and you want to get to the other side of the field. And so you either throw it and put it in someone's hands, or you hand it and put it in someone's hand, and he has to run to the other side. You know, in many ways, Islam is a lot like football, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If, you know, Rasulullah says he was the quarterback, right? And he gave us the football of Iman, and we tuck it in, and you got to run and make it before you die. Right? Make sure you don't fumble. But if you take it at a, you know, that's like the macro level, but if you take it at the micro level, every amal that you do is also football that's been tucked under your arm. Every good deed that you will ever do in your life, don't think that you did it. That only happened with the tawfiq of Allah. He gave you the football and you tucked it under your arm. Now you got to protect it. Most people actually think that once I did a good deed, that's going to be with me until I die. Right? That's how people think. That, oh, I prayed salah. I'm going to get the thawab for it. First of all, to get the thawab for it, that has to be accepted. Right? And no one knows even if one of their amal has been accepted in their entire life. So forget about, you know, thawab. But the idea is that, you know, the good deeds, a person becomes a hafiz, a person becomes an alim, a person does so many things. There are things, it is not guaranteed that that football that has been put under your arm, that you're going to make it into the touchdown. I mean, until you die, you don't know if that's, like, is the that you've got the, you don't get the 7 points. You got to make it to the touchdown area first. It's not enough to carry the ball. You got to get the ball, and you got to take it there. Meaning, until you die, you got to make sure that you don't, something doesn't occur, what you call in Islam, حَبْتِ amal. That the good deeds that you do, that they can fall. It's not like set in stone. It's, everything's just contingent. It's hanging there until you die. Every salah you did, every ayah of Qur'an that you read, every da'wah that you gave to someone, right? Every good deed that you did, everything is contingent until you die. And there are people who will do good deeds, right? But then it just falls into their way. Right? It will fall. And then they'll be like, well, I had become a hafiz. Like, where is that? They don't see it on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine, they memorize the whole Qur'an. Spend years of their life, and then looking at, they're coming to on the day of judgment, you know, they're expecting to see it there, and then they'll turn around. It's nothing. It's like, man, I was banking on that. And it just, and there's certain things in the deen which are so detestable to Allah, that on the basis of that, He'll take your good deeds and they'll also drop. For example, one of them is riya, right? A person teaches an Islamic class, or a person does a good thing, and you said, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, I had a great time at Hajj. I got to do, I did so many tawafs, right? Yeah, your tawassul had been so deep, and you were crying, and you know. But then when you come back, shaitan wants to make sure you, that tear that dropped from your eyes, right? You've never cried before in your life. But that one day that you cried, now he wants to get that out of your book of deeds. So what he'll do, he'll take you to someone else and says, just go talk about it. Right? So you go to someone, you're like, man, you know, and it's very subtle. Oh, Islam is such a beautiful religion. You know, it's so good. You know, subhanAllah, one time I was actually just sitting, and I was just thinking about Allah, and I started crying. You lost it. Right? If you're doing it to show off, if you're doing it to earn some type of, you know, value in the eyes of Allah, Allah says, let them give you your reward. Take it from them. If you're doing it for them, take it from them. Everything's contingent. So one of the things that's actually contingent, one of the things that can make the things fall, right? We talked about riya, but that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. Is one of the things is what we call man. Man is reminding someone about a favor that you did to them. Right? Look, we don't do that many nice things to others in the first place. Right? We don't do that many nice things for someone else in the first place. When you actually do something, right, and you actually do something, you better hold on to it with your dear life. Right? And one of the surefire ways to lose it is by reminding someone else of that favor. Right? So a person, I'll give you a practical example. A sister, right? Another sister is sick, right? And she cooks for her and she sends food. Right? She sends food to her house. Very nice thing to do, right? Probably makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so happy, right? But then the next time the other person is sick, then they call up and they, you know, they're going crazy with their kids, and then they ask for a favor, and they're like, she's like, you know, can you help me out? Can you like wash the kids or something? She's like, and she says, oh, you want to make a habit of this, right? You want to make a habit of this? That's all you have to say. That good deeds that you do, you're throwing it in the garbage, right? It's very subtle, but you're reminding someone of a favor that you did. The way that you save yourself from this thing called man. I'll take another practical example. Husband and wife get into a fight. Husband might have done so many nice things, bought so many nice things for the wife, and the wife says, oh, you never did anything for me. Right? You never do anything for me. He's like, what do you mean you never did anything for you? And he starts naming, I did this for you, and I did this for you, I did this for you. Shaitan's like racking it up. He says, oh, this is great. Alhamdulillah, all the good things he did, I'm just going to throw in the garbage. One thing is you're doing it to do their tarbiyah. Right, to try to remind someone, like you tell your child, that beta, you know, Baba works very hard, you should also understand that. But then your niyah there is tarbiyah. Your niyah there is not to remind someone of a favor. Right? Your niyah there is not to fight. Similarly, a wife, a husband comes home, you know, the husband says, well, look at the house. She's like, what do you mean, look at the house? I've been up since Fajr. I've been doing this. I do this every day. And going off. Right? All the sacrifice that she did, all the hard work she did, you could have gotten so much sawab for just throwing in the garbage. Right? Take a child and their parents. Parents say that, tell the child that, Bete, you know, I don't want you to go to the game. Right? You're like, Mom, I already cleaned up the whole house. I cleaned the car. I did my homework. I studied for my finals. You never let me do anything. Right? If you start counting all the quote-unquote, there's not even favors, really. Right? There are the things you should be doing anyway for your parents. But then you start counting that I do this, I'm so obedient to you, I listen to you all the time, I do this, I, right? And as soon as you do that, all the good things that you could have gotten, throwing it in the garbage. So that's basically analogous to the football fumble. Right? You had the football in your hand, and you fumbled. Guess what happens? The other team takes possession. Who's playing against you? Shaitan. Right? And his minions of evil. Right? And they have game. Right? Let me just tell you, they got game. So you got to be careful. Right? You have to be careful. Don't remind anyone of your favor. Now a person will think, on a practical level, right? It's better that if you, for example, in قول ma'ruf, right? Because all of the good things you do to someone else is sadaqah. It's better that you just don't do something, go out of your way for the other person's sake. Man, I hope that you feel better. Right? And the sister didn't send the food in the first place. That's better than later on reminding her of the favor. It's better for the husband than the wife's getting mad at him that, okay, maybe I don't do anything for you, I should do more. Right? And just keep quiet. It's better than for him to go and do all that and then throw it in the garbage. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's better. خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى, that you cause some type of harm. So a person will say, how do I protect myself from falling into this trap? Right? Of losing this. So I'll give you one simple advice. One simple advice is very easy to remember on how to save yourself from man. When you do something nice to someone else, just forget about it. Right? Forget any good you ever did to anyone else, and never forget any good that someone else does to you. Right? If you do it good to anyone else, you gave them dawah, you helped them out, you gave them a ride, you know, you helped them with their homework, you bought them lunch, so on and so forth. Do it and forget it. Do it and forget it. Whether it's your parents, your wife, your family, just do it and forget it. Just think that it didn't happen. This is the way of the Sahaba, right? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. They didn't even expect a thank you. Right? One time what happened is I forgot my wallet in the restroom at work. Or it had fallen out of my pocket, something like this, right? So one of the persons, one of the janitor people, he found the wallet, right? He found the wallet. So he gave it to me. If I was busy, perhaps, there's so many things going on, I grabbed the wallet and I left, right? But he remembered, right? He remembered later, right? And he found me in the elevator one time. He's like, man, you didn't even say thank you. I said, really? I didn't even say thank you, right? He's like, you could have given me some money or something, right? So like, perhaps I apologized to him later, but I thought that I had, you know, at least thanked him. But, wallahu alam bisawab. But there's this expectation, right? That someone's gonna say, do something good to someone else, they're gonna say thank you back, right? If you wanna be safe from man, do something good, don't expect the thank you even. Do something good, right? You give something to some poor person, just forget about it. You don't have to say thank you. Right? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً. We don't want you to give us a dollar back. Right? We don't want to give us a smile. When you act, and you know, sometimes when you're really nice to someone else, and then you come around them, there's almost in the back of your mind, there's this expectation that, oh, you know, I did so much for them. Right? They better get their act straight around me. Right? Because I have the upper hand. Right? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want anything from you. Right? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are feeding for the sake of Allah. Right? We want our entire treasure with Allah. But what are you going to give me at the most? You're going to give me a thank you? Right? You're going to give me your eternal gratitude? What am I going to do that with that on the day of Qiyamah? Right? I can't cash that. Right? I can't cash that for like a palace in Jannah. If Allah is grateful, I can definitely cash that. Right? That I can take to the bank. What do I do with people's gratitude? So when you do something nice for someone else, the way you save yourself is just do it and forget about it. Right? But never forget something that someone else does for you. You know, one day, like all you guys are studying right now, many of you are students, one day you might be a professional, you're making a lot of money, this and that. It's very easy to forget those people who helped you along the way. Your teachers in high school, your parents who spent time behind you, then you go 1 month without calling them, 2 months without calling them, mom, I'm busy. They weren't too busy to earn money to send you to school, but now you get too busy with work to even give them a call once or every 2 months. That's not wafai, right? A person should not forget any favor anyone has done for them along the way, right? People who helped them out when you're in medical school, when you're in residency, you didn't have time. People helped you, they helped your family, this and that. And then later on you become a big doctor, you become a big this, you become a big that. You say, I'm sorry man, I don't have time for you. Right? That's not the way to conduct oneself. So just to recap, there's something else I wanted, well, just in the interest of time, we'll cut that out. But so just to recap some of the major points that were discussed today. Number one, that in life you want to be a giver, you don't want to be a taker. Right? You can just take your entire life and just live according to that. Number two, everything good that you'll ever do in your life, you don't know if you have it until you die. Right? It's like a football that can fall from your hand at any time, so you gotta be careful that you protect it. And one of the things that can strip the ball from your hand is something called man, right? Reminding another person of your favor upon them. Even if it be subtle, right? Be careful. Even if it be subtle. And so, the way that you protect, and the final point was, how do you protect yourself from that? Is that when you do something for someone else, or I should give you two layers of protection, right? One layer of protection is that you forget the good thing that you ever did for them. And if you happen to remember Right? If you happen to remember, rather than think that you did a favor on them, think that they did a favor on you. Because they gave you an opportunity. Right? If there wasn't someone poor, like, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having poor people in the haram, because every time we mess up, who are you going to give sadaqah to? Right? It's a mercy of Allah that those people are there that you can give them sadaqah. Right? It's a mercy that the masjids are there. Like when you go to a fundraiser and you give money, you're not doing the masjid a favor, you're doing yourself a favor, because there's no masjid. Where would you donate and go up in Jannah? Right? How would you make a palace for yourself in Jannah? You couldn't. Right? You're stuck. Right? If there wasn't people in trouble, then who could you help and make your akhirah better? So rather than thinking you are doing them a favor, you should say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these people so that I can raise my status in the akhirah. Right? If you just take that attitude, apply it to your family, apply it to your friends, apply it to even your colleagues at work, apply it to Muslims, and even apply it to non-Muslims. Right? That's when the akhlaq of a Muslim comes out. That's how you change people. Right? That's when a non-Muslim, you know, you can give him the Qur'an, and that's very powerful. Right? But when he sees someone exemplifying one ayah of the Qur'an, that's also very powerful. Right? مَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to always be givers, and may He save us from ever losing any of the good deeds that we've had, we accrue with so much difficulty. And whatever's happened in the past in terms of our own ignorance, in terms of our own, knowingly or unknowingly, if we've lost our good deeds, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all of those back to us the way that He gave Ayyub alayhi salam everything that he had back, and may He give us the double of it and change all our bad deeds also into good deeds. It is not small for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is able to do all things. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.